Ryan C. Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Now, we talked about Greg Roman getting fired. I missed this initially. This is the move that really needed to take place. They have also fired their offensive line coach, which I'm sure he's like, but all the people got hurt. And they're like, "Hell, that's great. You're still fired."
He's like, "What a crock."
Thank you for not doing the other thing. Right now, that level of brilliance is brought to you in the C Block, starring Corey Majors.
Thank you very much, Kevin. I really do appreciate that. It is time, ladies and gentlemen, for the level of concern.
Oh, man!
It's true.
Did you see Matt Ryan in his introductory presser or whatever? He goes, "Don't worry, I'm not trying to come back and pull up Philip Rivers or anything like that and play."
Did Rivers replace him or did he replace Rivers at Indianapolis? I can't remember how that went. I know one played there and then the other one did.
He said he's not coming back, Corey.
Good. I don't want to see his old body play football again. I got done with it a long time ago.
What?
I don't need your old body out there getting hurt potentially. Looking like, oh, you saw Philip Rivers play. You're just like, what is happening?
Yeah. I told you I wanted to see two drives, and after that, I was like, I got it.
For moments, it did look like Uncle Rico was out there, just a heavier version. And I'm not trying to fat shame him here on that. I'm just saying, like, the way he threw it just looked even different than when he was really playing. And maybe because when he was really playing, there was a different body, you know? But old bodies are different.
Can you believe his body still looked good for somebody who had 10 kids?
It's true. Hold on.
Is that not how that
Hold
works?
Hold on.
I might have got that wrong.
Do you think after the, like, he was three and he was like, look, three Rivers. And then he was like, we need more Rivers in this country.
I don't know. I'm fascinated by this. I told you, I had a friend who him and his wife had 9 kids. And I said, why not 10? And he said, because his wife thought having 10 kids would be weird. And I really wanted to be like, hey, man, like having 9 kids is kind of weird, but didn't feel like the right time.
If you have 9 kids, 877-881-1053, text in and let Kevin know how you feel about what you just said.
And I hope you're willing to admit, in today's day and age, that's a little odd. I'm not saying it's bad, but it is unusual.
Are you trying to say back in the day you had to have 9 kids to work the farm?
Yeah, and like, because they didn't believe in different things and everything.
Contraceptives?
Yes. And so they're like, well, you might get pregnant.
And then what?
And then you have another person to help plow the farm. Mm-hmm. Although I guess that's how you got in that situation to begin with. Too much plowing.
All right. It's true. Guys, I want to know what your level of concern. Let's go ahead and hit cut 13 here. Your level.
Why do we have so many farm terms that have been sexualized?
Dude, I'm telling you. Alec, this is what we have to do. During the Winter Olympics, actually, I think it's even more during the Summer Olympics is when it's like, and he's pumping and he's, you know, and you're just like, what is happening right now? And but during the Winter Olympics, I need you to listen. Listen for all the sexual innuendos that aren't intentional. They're unintentional sexual innuendos because sports and sex go hand in hand.
Go to Alec.
Oh, we got some breaking news. Mike Tomlin is stepping down as the head coach of the Steelers.
That is what we said. We said that more likely he would leave than it would be for them to fire him. Now, maybe this was a situation where the Steelers said, hey, we would like you to resign. And he was like, I appreciate that. Handshake. Good day.
Which do you think it was? Like, if you had to pick right now.
Probably that.
Okay.
Probably they were like, look, we want to move in a different direction. And he said, it's fine by me. I'm kind of ready to move on too. I probably am about to have all these offers with TV. Again, last night, Kevin, I thought during his halftime interview, he was trying out for television. And he was fantastic.
All right. My next question then, do you think, and I know you just said it could have been like a tryout for television. Do you think that's the direction that Mike Tomlin goes next year, takes a year off, or do you think he jumps into the coaching cycle? Because now doesn't that mean more than a quarter of the teams in the NFL, 9 of the 32 teams have open coaching positions.
You remember the day that I told you, dude, 14 teams might get new coaches, and you were like, that's laughable, Corey. And here we are. That's closer than I expected.
Yeah, like I thought 7 would be a lot, and now it's 9. So I have one more question after that, if you'll indulge me. But that's my first question is, I know it like just freaking happened, but you know what our business is. Do you think he goes to TV, takes a year off, or do you think he's like, yeah, I'll go coach the Ravens, or whatever.
So they did. The Ravens did just get done with their interview with Brian Flores. Yeah. And in my opinion, Kevin, if I just got done with my interview with Brian Flores, I'm also announcing that he's not leaving the building and he's staying here.
Okay. Like
that's how I would not have let him left.
Okay.
And so, but I don't think he would go to the Ravens. I feel like he probably wouldn't go to the Ravens. I think the best road for him would be to take the year off, take a breath, reinvent some things, rethink, recalibrate, and then dive back in on a team that has a quarterback in place and is ready to go. Quite honestly, the Giants would be a great place for him. I'd hate to see that, but the Giants with Jackson Dart and the building blocks there that they need discipline, they need structure. He's got the things that I think that could build in that area and a young quarterback to go along with it.
I see people saying the Cowboys should pick him up.
For what?
He's going to be a head coach or nothing.
Yeah, and you have a head coach right now that the Cowboys love.
But
the Cowboys love Shoddy.
Hey, going back to my pay the coach all the money, would I love for you to give Brian Flores $12 million to be your DC, give Mike Tomlin $15 million to be your defensive backs coach? Hell yeah! Let's spend all the money. Write that check, Jerry Jones. I bet you could convince Mike Tomlin, be like, oh man, you don't have to deal with the media and everything like that? I get all the money? Sure. But I don't envision a real scenario in which that happens.
How funny would that be if Harbaugh went to Pittsburgh and Tomlin went to the Ravens?
That's advantage...
It'd be fun.
Don't you kind of...
The team with the quarterback has the advantage.
And that's the thing. I want to see Mike Tomlin with a competent quarterback. I really do. It's been so many years since he's had one, going back to, like, even the last couple of years of Big Ben were kind of embarrassing. But, like, I want to see him with a competent quarterback. I'm not saying that he's going to go be the Ravens coach, but I would love to see that.
Yeah, understanding that this dude knows how to build a team. He's been part of that plenty of times, except for the quarterback. He is the inventor of new receivers. You ever notice that? They're like, hey, bring one in. Now, this year they went and got DK Metcalf, and then he disappeared in the playoffs because that's what DK Metcalf does. He disappears in games. But for the most part, every year it seemed like Tomlin was rolling out a new set of receivers for a couple years, and then he would say, all right, we've moved on from that guy for whatever reason, and then they'd just find another one and be just fine. So I think that, I think he's going to be just fine in whatever he decides to do, but my approach to it at this point, because I've been with one team for so long, and now I gotta go out there. That team knows exactly what I'm preaching. If I'm gonna get on TV for a little bit, I can start telling the entire community what I'm preaching and what I expect and what I want, and then those players have that respect for me already from my time. And now whenever I take a team over, they've heard me talking about these things too, because they watch ESPN, they listen, they know what's going on there.
All right, can I ask you another question? And maybe we can do level of concern in just a few minutes, or maybe in the next segment.
I have two clips of audio I'll play. It'll be fun.
Okay. Do you think, and I know this is just the way the game is, and this is the way the pressure of the business is, but 9 open spots now for 32 jobs. Has the pendulum swung too far the other way of, I know Tomlin's not a good example because he's been with Pittsburgh forever, same with Harbaugh, but like, has the pendulum swung too far the other way in terms of the triggers being pulled too quickly to get rid of some of these coaches? Again, I realize Tomlin and Harbaugh are a little bit different, but there's a lot of coaches already on this list that weren't there for very long.
All right. Aaron Rodgers was asked last night about his coach, right? And Aaron Rodgers said, this league has changed a lot in my 21 years. when you hear conversations about Mike Tomlin and Matt LaFleur's of the world, when I first got in the league, there wouldn't be conversation about whether those guys were on the hot seat. But the way the league is covered now, I'll get to that in a second, the way that there's snap decisions, validity given to Twitter experts and all the experts on TV now who make them make it seem like they know what the hell they're talking about, to me, that's an absolute joke. Dave Hellman said Andy Reid and Lovie Smith got fired by organizations that they took to the Super Bowl when Aaron was in his prime of his career. The noise might be louder now, but this just isn't true. I think the noise being louder is the reason there's more pressure on GMs and owners to go ahead and make moves. Because back then, there was a time when the newspaper was the only noise.
Yeah.
Talk radio wasn't as big as it is now. Podcasts weren't. There's more influence from social media and media in general than there ever has been. But there's also more pressure for those guys to make the decisions to go ahead and move forward with something like that. And Kevin, that being said, when you're not doing well, you should make a move, right?
Yeah.
You can't just make a move to make a move's sake. You have to make a move with a good plan.
Actually, I don't know if I always agree with that. I think sometimes, not a lot, every now and again, I do think you just need to make a move for a move's sake. I don't believe that's the case in Tomlin, but I think sometimes you're like, this is so freaking bad. You're like, well, what are you going to do better? You're like, I don't know yet, but this can't continue. Now, I think that's a minority. That's a small percentage of the time. But also, the other thing that's tricky about what Aaron Rodgers said or what my question is, not all of these people were fired for the same reason. Like, take the last two. Tomlin and Harbaugh. Coaches that have won a Super Bowl with the organization that they're currently with as the head coach, but they've been there a really long time and things have cycled back around to where it felt like they just couldn't get them over the hump. And then you have teams like Arizona where you're like, we just feel like we're stuck in the middle of nothing. Same thing with Cleveland. And you're like, we got to do something because this ain't working. And then you have a team like the Raiders who they were like, all right, Pete Carroll, you got 1 year. We thought maybe we could catch lightning in a bottle like you have with so many of your other teams, but now you're out. So that's one thing, is not all of these firings are the same. A lot of them were made for pretty radically different reasons. For Miami Dolphins, might have been because Mike McDaniel doesn't dress or talk the right way.
Mm-hmm. Our friend Damon Amendolora, who we've made good friends with over the years.
And who loves the segment, Should I Eat It?
Chuck Knoll and Bill Cowher never coached another game after leaving the Steelers. Knoll was 59, Cowher 49. I think Mike Tomlin, 53, could do the same. Good take. I mean, that's a very valid take. You're in Pittsburgh. That place is tough. Like, you know it's a tough place. Maybe he is like 19 years was awesome. I got everything I need.
Sure.
I feel pretty confident. I'm leaving having never had a losing season. Like, this is all these things are positive. I can retire pretty happy, maybe be a Hall of Fame coach. I don't know about that.
Yeah, it's funny. I was thinking that too. Do you think Harbaugh is more likely? Or maybe that's a conversation for another day.
Yeah, it is an interesting conversation for that.
How desirable is the Steelers' job from a safety, a job security standpoint? Because they don't do this very much. And I realize Mike Tomlin stepped down. Maybe he stepped down, or maybe that was the polite way to let him walk out the door. Either way, the point is they don't really switch head coaches very often.
As far as job security goes, that seems like a very positive place to be.
For sure.
How decisions are made, I don't know. Tomlin never really did beat down his GMs or ownership. Never. He carried the flag pretty good for them. And that seems to be one of the things. If you're a good leader for this organization, you're going to do these things, right? So I don't like it, you ask how desirable for job security. But I always want to know, what is it like in there? And if I ask for something, can I get it? Or if I ask for something, do I have to deal with, we got to deal with this and this and this? Or are they like, let's go make that happen so you can win? And it doesn't seem like maybe he did. He signed off on everything from there. Oh, man, could you see who? Their names, Robert Saleh. right?
Yeah.
Jason Garrett's name got thrown in the world, dude.
It feels like Jason Garrett would love coaching at Pittsburgh. He's the epitome of trust the process, even if it takes 15 years. Think about how crazy that is. I was just looking at this. Chuck Knoll, like he brought up from Amendola, he didn't coach anywhere else after he left the Steelers. Bill Cowher, same thing. If Mike Tomlin were to take another job, that means the Steelers would be on their fourth coach in the last 56 years, and Mike Tomlin would be the first Steelers former head coach in 56 years to coach with another team.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That is, so it's the safest job maybe in all of sports, right? Like right now, this has been the most stable job in all of sports, being the Steelers head coach. And now Mike Tomlin, he's out or stepped down, the information that we have.
Jordan Schultz does say, Kevin, Mike Tomlin, in all caps, was not fired.
Okay.
He's voluntarily leaving the organization.
Okay. And that's what I was curious about.
So the Steelers will retain his rights.
So if he goes...
He would be in high demand should he still want to coach, even if he takes a year off, this scenario in which Pittsburgh could trade him down the road like Sean Payton.
Okay, well, that is interesting, and that's a savvy move by the Steelers. Or maybe Mike Tomlin said, hey, I just want to go do TV, and they were like, hey, in case you decide to do something else, though, we're going to hold on to your rights, and I'm sure he's fine with that. I'm sure he views himself as like part of the fabric of the Steelers.
Yeah.
And why should he not?
Yeah.
Then my side question.
Hey, can you go ahead and do that, but at the end, can you recap all the stuff that's happened today?
Yes, absolutely. Is that a desirable job to you?
Yes.
Okay, aside
from the cold.
Yeah, okay. And putting aside every NFL job is probably viable
the
to a certain extent.
Stinks.
Okay.
But Pittsburgh would be a desirable job for sure.
All right. So on a day where Greg Roman, the OC for the Chargers, and their offensive line coach did in fact get fired, Nolan Arenado got traded to the Diamondbacks. Anthony Davis is probably going to need surgery, but he might still be traded to a contender unless you go to Anthony Davis and he says, not so fast, my friends, but didn't give an exact specification of which part he had a beef with. And now Mike Tomlin has stepped down. There are so many things happening, and that's fair. The safest job is Cowboys general manager. All right.
And that's why you're here on 105.3 The Fan.
Boom! All right, next. This time for real level of concern right here on The Fan. KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. In case you've missed, I want to say the breaking news, but that probably doesn't cover it appropriately. All of the breaking news of the day, Mike Tomlin has stepped down. The Chargers have fired their offensive coordinator and offensive line coach. Nolan Arenado has been traded to the Diamondbacks. Sham Sharania reporting that Anthony Davis will need surgery and would likely be out for the rest of the regular season before adding that potentially the Mavs could still trade him to interested contenders who would look for that boost from Anthony Davis for the playoffs. And then Anthony Davis tweeting for the first time since Corey said like July, don't believe everything that you read. Mm. So there's been a whole lot going on.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely there has. And you know what, Kevin? That's why we're here. So that we can make sure we break it all down, figure out what's going on next. And you know what? We'll have our answers. G-Bag will roll in here and make sure they have your answers.
Yeah.
Fan After Dark rolls through, and then you wake up in the morning. Sean and RJ are there for you. And then we're all going to the Super Bowl. So we're all going to hang out in San Francisco together. We also got spring training coming up on us. So lots of fun stuff happening here, Kevin. We have a couple options here. We can either roll back to the level of concern.
I like that.
Or we can re-rank some of these head coaching jobs, because this list actually, Alec, has gotten a little more difficult as Pittsburgh gets thrown into this mix. So quite interesting opportunities. Here's what I'll do. I'm going to play two clips of audio for you, all right?
I also tell you that Columbus hired former Stars head coach Rick Bonus to be their head coach?
Interesting.
So there you go.
We're all going to pull on one rope together.
That's right.
Just like he took as they were winning or getting to the Stanley Cup.
That's right.
And losing.
Okay.
That did happen.
I know.
Kevin, I'm going to play two clips of audio, then we're going to rank these coaching jobs.
Can you play cut 15?
Yeah. We'll play three clips of audio.
Yes!
We're going to start with cut 13. And the level of concern, what is your concern for this kid's cortisol levels in the future?
Yes, this was a huge letdown. This was my Christmas present, and I got a loss.
Oh, no. You probably would have rather had Cole, huh?
Yeah, probably. I'm feeling two of two things. A, I want A.J. Brown packing his bags, and I want him somewhere else that is not here. I love you, A.J., but, like, you can't make those drops in that game. And I also want Kevin Petullo flipping burgers at, like, the local McDonald's or something. I don't care.
Why do you say that?
Whenever he's an offensive coordinator, it's like he's flipping burgers. One side, he's cooking. One half, he's cooking. And the other half is completely raw.
Oh, damn.
That kid's funny to me.
Man, should I assume that was just a drunken fan who was like, wah, wah, wah.
Yeah.
Okay.
He said, go birds.
Oh, okay. Yelling. Oh. Checkmate. Actually, that was an accident. I just assumed he was a drunken buffoon interrupting a child on the news.
Mm-hmm.
Good job.
Thanks a lot, Corey.
Yeah, if you could turn that audio around quick, Alec, that'd be
Boston
great.
Red Sox pitcher Peyton Toll was being interviewed. And this, I know he plays for the Red Sox. This dude, he might become one of our favorite voices in baseball.
Yeah, I was walking in Sam's one day and had two people come up to me, and I was like, yeah, man, I'm just trying to get my mass-produced waffles, man. Like, that's all I'm here for. A fruit bag, and you just want me to take a picture with you. But so a little bit, yeah, especially you get around Boston, you get around Fenway, and it's like, oh, you're that guy. You have the mustache. I'm like, yeah, I guess.
Sam's.
It's like Sam's Club.
Like Costco.
Like Costco.
Yeah. You were food shopping.
Yeah, absolutely. They have $1.50 hot. Yeah, $1.50 hot dog combo there. So
Pause it right there.
That guy doesn't know what Sam's is?
That's the part that irritated me the most, Alec. That dude doesn't have a clue what Sam's is. And she said, it's like Costco. So I said, yeah, you dummy. And he's like $1.50 hot dog combo. And then he went on to tell a story about eating 8 bananas before a game and because he couldn't eat anything else. He couldn't
keep
it down. Let's go ahead and finish that one up.
Yeah,
big hot dog. Yeah, we went and had family dinner there a few times this month. Get two pizza sizes of pizza, 4 meat pizza, and you know, they got a nice brisk raspberry tea there. It's pretty good. I have a lot of bananas. Monkey never cramp.
so good.
Glad I got somebody to giggle at that. But I have a like tough time eating sometimes on start, especially on start days. We have a tough time eating, and like bananas was the only thing that I could eat. So one day I had 8 bananas before I pitched. I was like, well, we got our potassium, so go check.
I'm telling you that dude right there.
Check.
I wish we could get him on an interview at spring training or a personality like him because I think he would fit in very well with us.
Gotta get my potassium.
And then Kevin, the Boston Red Sox are not the only ones competing here. The Boston Celtics also, as their head coach Joe Mazzulla, who we've already decided is a psychopath,
but a genius too.
Does not love to answer your question without getting his own answers in.
Joe, give yourself the chance to win, I guess. Take us through the last couple possessions.
Illegal screen.
What fell apart to get you guys behind, and then how were you able to get behind?
Illegal screen.
What do you mean by that? What do you want people to know about?
Illegal screen.
Would you like to say anything else?
Illegal screen.
He wasn't happy about that illegal screen. 6 questions, the same answer.
Okay, and one of those is because the reporter is like, what did you say? And so, but at least 5, and I'm assuming Pascal Siakam set the screen, Derek White lost his balance, and all of that. But I appreciate that reporter being ready to go and being like, what do you want people to know about that? Mm. And then he's at illegal screen, and then when she goes, is there anything else you would like to say? So there's that.
Yeah, I think that's the same reporter. He's that's asked questions. You've always been like, I'm glad that reporter had a follow-up just like that.
She's ready. She knows, especially after a close loss like that. She knows.
Mm-hmm. Illegal screen.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
There you go. All right, Kevin.
Level of concern me?
Level of concern.
Okay.
for the coaching positions in the NFL.
Oh, we're ranking the coaches.
Yeah, we're moving on to
ranking the
NFL head coaching jobs here because Pittsburgh is now open. I don't know if y'all have heard or not. Mike Tomlin has stepped down as the head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Pittsburgh Steelers have formally announced this, by the way. Mm. During our meeting today, Coach Tomlin, this is from Art Rooney II, Coach Tomlin informed me that he has decided to step down as our head coach. Obviously, I'm extremely grateful to Mike for all the hard work and dedication. 19 years, hard for me to put into words. He guided this franchise, his track record, my family, Steelers football. You know all the words that were said there.
Yeah. That job written up that statement.
Yeah, I would have been like, chat, give me the statement. That job is very promising because you have a lot of pieces in place, but you're missing the one piece, and that is quarterback. That's the thing that plagued Mike Tomlin the last 6 years-ish, is that he didn't have a real quarterback to do. Even Ben Roethlisberger's end of his era, he couldn't throw deep anymore.
Yeah.
Here are the jobs that are available. Arizona, Atlanta, Baltimore, Cleveland, Las Vegas, Miami, New York Giants, Pittsburgh, and Tennessee. Kevin, let's rank these as I thought that I was going to put Pittsburgh at the top. But I'm like, nope, I still think it's Baltimore.
Is Cleveland the worst?
It kind of depends. Arizona's kind of a mess, too.
Yeah, because are they going to get rid of their quarterback?
What's their quarterback? At least with Cleveland, you kind of think you have Shadur that you can work with.
Do you?
Kind of. Yeah, he's not going anywhere.
What about Dylan Gabriel?
All right, cool.
That's Alex guy.
Yeah, great.
I'm just kidding. I know you think he sucks.
The Titans are a bit of a mess. You have a quarterback, but that place isn't great.
I think
I would probably put it this way. I would say Baltimore, Pittsburgh, Atlanta, New York, Vegas. And I know Vegas is a mess, but the idea that I get the number one overall pick as a head coach and that I have Brady over that I can work with. Now,
okay.
If I can't get along with Brady, I have problems.
Yeah.
Because that dude's going to want it done a certain way, and maybe I want it done a certain way, and those collide, and I'm out.
Okay.
But if I get the number one overall pick and I can go get Fernando Mendoza, I'm feeling pretty confident there.
So then part of this is going to be how you feel about Mendoza, Dart, Penix.
Yeah, well, Penix came into play, but Kevin,
Ward.
When I think after we discussed Atlanta a while back, I was like, oh, yeah, I forgot Bijan, Drake London. That offense is pretty stacked.
Yeah, agreed. I would go – I'm definitely going Baltimore first. I think I'm going Atlanta. Yeah, you want to come on in? Go for it. I'd go Atlanta second, and then the Steelers. I appreciate the job security aspect of it, but you don't have a quarterback. Then I'm going.
Yeah, you'll probably have the most time to do what you want in Pittsburgh.
Yeah,
but you still have to work pretty quickly.
Yeah, then Giants, Dolphins, Titans. No, Raiders, then Titans. Then Cardinals, then Browns.
That's a fair list.
But and again, I think that just depends on your mileage for Ward, Mendoza, Dart, Penix. That will probably change a lot. Because if you're like, oh man, no, Cam Ward is ready to be unlocked, he's going to be awesome, like he said, then I can see how you would give more credence to Tennessee. If you think Mendoza is going to be the dude for the next 12 to 15 years, especially, you know what I love about that? Man, if you're drafting Mendoza or whatever quarterback, it feels like there could not be another human on planet Earth that you would rather pair him with in understanding the work it takes to be great than Tom Brady.
No, absolutely. You're absolutely correct about that. And you know what? Maybe you bring Charlie Weiss Jr. with him.
I mean,
dude draws up some good plays.
Yeah.
Be like, hey, I know your dad. Tom Brady says that. I know your dad. I played with Charlie. Maybe you'd like to coach this Fernando Mendoza kid.
I mean, and it's...
I'm thinking of Ole Miss for some reason. My brain, yeah. Shanahan.
I just think that you already know it seems like Brady's going to be hands-on to a certain extent or whatever he's allowed to be with his broadcasting gig as well, but he's going to tell you what's it going to take. If you're not like, what's it going to take to get...
Dude, do you know what? Trinidad Chambliss is out, could be out there, too.
Yeah, by the way.
You get your pick of these good ones.
And how weird is that? Is like, maybe you think it's Dante Moore. Maybe he's going to go into the draft. I would guess probably maybe he's not. Or for Chambliss, he's currently filed an injunction against the NCAA. So, whoo!
Dude, this is exciting times right now.
Indeed, indeed. Coming up next, let's chit-chat with the fellas from the G-Bag Nation right here on 105 Through the Fan.
Rodgers. Tapping his gut, takes the snap. Rodgers, pocket collapsing. Rodgers, it's going to go down, and the ball is out. Who's got it? Rankins picks it up. He's on the move. 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Sheldon Rankins. Rock and roll.
KNC masterpiece right here on 105. Three the Fan. Did Will Anderson have two different half sacks in that game that would have hit the higher for underdog? Yes, he did, but then they took one of them away and it ended up being a push. That sucks. Anyways, right now.
Shout out to the under, though.
That's right. That's right. Although, man, they made it sweat at the end. Right now, courtesy of D&M Leasing, it is time for our chit chat with the fellas from the G-Bag Nation. Gentlemen, how is you today?
Amazing. Hey, how are you?
Man, I'm doing great, and I know there's a lot of sports stuff to talk about, but we've been breaking news all day. We could talk about that football playoff game or Mike Tomlin and all this other stuff, and that's great. But what I really want to talk about is, Eric, I keep hearing rumors about you and a walrus penis.
Whoa.
What can you tell me about that? Is that a personal thing for you, or is that a story for the show?
There is a story. Wait, who's talking about the walrus penis?
You've been teasing it for 16 days. Tell me the story already.
You've been linking us to the walrus penis.
It's unbelievable. About it. Let's go. There's a crazy story about, I guess, like the...
Before you do that, I got a story. Oh. Do you want me to tell that story?
Yeah,
I mean, hold on to that story...
I would love to hear yours.
No, go ahead. No, you go ahead and give
yours. You sure? I feel like yours might be better.
Well, something. Mine's more about a manatee taking a poop, but that's a different story for a different time. Tell your walrus story.
That's still my wheelhouse. Now I'm interested.
Quit stalling and tell me the story.
I don't have all the details in front of me. I'm caught off guard. I wasn't expecting the walrus penis to just show up in conversation right now.
Man.
I wasn't expecting
neither
that.
Probably
okay?
Was the person in that story.
Surprise, surprise. But apparently, like, it's like an artifact. All right, like these are impressive. A walrus penis apparently has some type of respect amongst the historians, the artifact folks. And so there was, I want to say it might have been in Philadelphia, or I can't remember exactly where, but they had this walrus penis as like part of their decor, and it was like a topic of conversation at the bar where
it's
people were like, what's
baculum?
Going on? A baculum, yes. Thank you.
Oh, the guy from Quantum Leap.
No, not worshiping.
There's something really important about this thing. So they had it up there. Next thing you know, you have like a group of bros that are in there, and they're like, yo, can we see it? Like, we just want to kind of like get up close with this thing, as one would.
You go.
Hold on. There's more to.
I know, but I need a question first. You go to a fancy apartment or, you know, a suite, and they have a walrus penis as decoration. Are you thinking, I should get out of here, or this is going to be a fun night?
I'm thinking fun night. Like, okay. I am going to ask some questions about
the
this.
The name of this place was Donkey's Place.
Thank you.
Yes. Donkey Hotel.
It's a New Jersey cheesesteak joint.
Okay, Jersey.
Tremendous.
Called Donkey's Place.
Wow.
And she went to the back to get something else, and then one dude stole the baculum, or the walrus.
They do have the largest known baculum.
Yes.
Which is crazy. Like, how would that be bigger than a whale? We all know how big a dork is.
Because it's internal.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an internal penis. You can't even see it.
Oh, wow.
Oh, man.
Okay.
How many women have I told that to? You know what I'm saying?
There was so much weight, and that area is right up against the ground. I figured this thing had to retract into the abdomen or something like that to protect it.
Now, just to show the range of this program and our crosstalk.
Oh, they're not going to press charges.
On the penis?
If they find the person. They just want the decades-old
baculum.
Just like, okay. Give us our penis back, dude.
Yeah.
Like, we got no other issues. We're not trying to make this a whole national crazy lawsuit story. Just give back to us what is ours.
National treasure.
Call that walrus John Wayne Bobbitt.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah, that's a good
reference.
Wonder
if Andy Reid's visited.
Or John Holmes.
Like, what other animals are we collecting their pieces, you know, as like decor?
In some places, like the horn,
the horse
is like an aphrodisiac. I don't know why I
there
said that last word.
That.
Weird. I'm
there
sorry
there
that.
Is something to that, yes. But I don't know. It just I had no idea that the walrus penis was such a commodity.
The coyote baculum is also one that gets collected. They're sold as curiosities and display items.
Now, as long as we may or may not be on the air, let me ask you this. So we threw out this question. Let's say Kellen Moore is making, I don't know, $8 million. But the Philadelphia Eagles said, we will give you $15 million to come back and be our offensive coordinator instead. Would you take the demotion with a massive raise?
Absolutely. I mean, if you're talking to me personally.
All right.
I mean, this
well
is
then,
a super hypothetical. I don't even know if you'd be allowed to do that if you're Kellen Moore, right? Like, can you?
Okay.
Can you just
well,
quit?
And fine.
Maybe you could.
So you need somebody to be available. Fine. Jerry would write the biggest check in the world. Brian Flores is out there. Mike Tomlin is out there. Mike Tomlin will be your DB coach for $15 million. Brian Flores will be your defense coordinator for $15 million. Doesn't affect your salary cap whatsoever, and you're collecting all the talented minds in the world.
Collect.
Wow.
I love it. We're just going to put together the super team of coaches.
Mm-hmm. Hell yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Avengers. That's
I'm not saying
done.
I think that's going to happen, but would you want to see that?
I would definitely want to
yeah.
see that. I
yeah.
mean, it would just be nice to know that Jerry's finally like committing to something in a big way, like financially. There is no restrictions. If
right.
you want it bad enough, you can have this. That would be phenomenal. I'm totally
down. Do you
guys
worry about Brian Flores not having the right kind of players to coach?
Do you yes. think he wants more veteran players?
No,
or?
How about just better ones?
Okay, I mean yes.
I mean, but
yes.
You know
that's part
saying?
Of the interview process,
you know what
though.
I'm saying, though? I mean, the ability, like, he plays so much. He blitzes heavy on first down, heavy on second down. He'll blitz on third down, of course. He plays so much zone behind it. Do you have the players, A, to blitz? You know, we saw that this year.
No.
Even when they
yeah.
brought guys, you know, it's like Shamar James was running into people. They couldn't get a twist stun off to save them their lives, which is something. You watch Minnesota play. It's one of the most coordinated pass rushes you'll ever see. Last night in that game, it was four-man rush, and it's badasses in the secondary
yes.
covering and hitting and tackling. We all think about Brian Flores and his scheme. You have to have players to run that scheme.
So one of the things I wonder, because you're 100% right about that.
This is round peg and square hole
and
right
D'Amico,
now.
D'Amico Ryans was saying last night when in that conversation, he was like, look, we need smart guys. We practice shedding blockers, but
yeah.
we need guys that can diagnose, see, and understand what they're supposed to do, too. And I don't know how much of that is the coaching and just natural. They've learned those things.
They
don't have the players.
They got extremely blessed by the draft gods because they traded away that Houston did their bum quarterback to Cleveland.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it allowed you to draft the players that they drafted. You know, Petrie, Anderson. I mean, that's what has to happen, but they run their scheme because of the players they have. But if you're Minnesota, if you think this guy's going to come in here, and I'd love to have him, don't get me wrong, but I worry about the players that he would have to coach and how that scheme would look, because we're talking about it afterwards. I know Wolchuk and I did the post game. We were talking about five or six new defenders is what we were talking about.
Yeah. And
I mean,
it was even 6-7.
If you're in a situation where you're going to use the two first round picks, by all means, but I'm in this looking at it right now. And I'm thinking, okay, if you're Brian Flores, the first thing I'm asking you, Jerry Jones, if I take this job, you're going to have to get me six new guys.
I'm right.
And I'm not taking this job, and I'm going to tell you the six guys I want.
And I would love that, actually, in this situation, because I'd be like, I got $70 million in cap space, no problem, two first-round picks, let's figure it out. What do you find fellas got coming up on the program today?
Your gold is always
hey, on air,
thanks for asking.
I see your texts, everybody.
We got the latest on AD right out of the gates here. This whole soap opera is expanding. The resignation in the AFC today. And then coming up at 3 o'clock, we're going to have Carmen Vitale, Fox Sports Radio, and watch Marquee talking NFL playoffs.
All right.
She's in Chicago, right?
I think she's got an update on the walrus penis as well, which is pretty exciting.
Shout out to Dave Hellman. Ask that? Roll home with the G-Bag Nation, or remember the Twitch and the YouTube. Remember the Twitch and the YouTube, people. We have been the KNC Masterpiece. Make your way back with us tomorrow, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Hey, good night, Kevin.
Good night, Kevin.